5:20, and this is the KDLL Evening News for Thursday, November 6th on 91.9 FM, KenaiStill.net listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up, a new show from the Kenai Performers questions faith, identity, and community. But first, Kenai's regional airport just got a lot grislier. The city unveiled a sculpture garden Thursday between the terminal's arrival and departure doors that features three life-size brown bears cast in bronze. The sow and two cubs are posed in a rock garden. A crowd of dozens crammed into the airport's northeast corner to see the bear statues unveiled. Mary Bondurant is the city's interim airport manager and helped spearhead fundraising for the project. She welcomed the attendees with a message from the Kenaitse Indian tribe, invoking Grandfather Gaga, which is the Dena'ina word for brown bear.
Grandfather Gaga, we are entering your forest. We won't stay long, and we won't take much. We ask that you grant us safe passage while we are here.
Efforts to bring the three bronze bears to Kenai started 2 years ago. The installation had an estimated cost of around $200,000, but Bondurant said Thursday the actual cost came in under budget, around $172,000. In September, it picked up a $25,000 grant from the Rasmussen Foundation that pushed it to more than 90% of its fundraising goal. The bears were designed by the Utah-based artist Stan Watts, the owner, founder, and master sculptor of Atlas Bronze Casting. His work includes multiple monuments displayed throughout the United States, including sculptures honoring Abraham Lincoln, Ida B. Wells, Rosa Parks, and first responders during the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. Kenai Mayor Henry Nackstedt called the bronze bear installation a gift to the community and local businesses.
This bear family sculpture stands as a reminder of what can happen when residences, businesses, nonprofits, tribal partners, and city staff come together. It reflects our shared values, pride in place, respect for our wildlife, and strength for our community.
After celebratory remarks, the crowd moved outside the airport to watch Nackstedt, Watts, and others pull blankets off the three bear sculptures.
3, 2, 1,
pull it.
The unveiling is being followed by a Meet the Artist event happening right now at the Kenai Senior Center with Stan Watts. More information about the project can be found on the Kenai Bronze Bear Sculpture Project's Facebook page. The federal government shutdown is now the longest in history, leaving thousands of Alaskans working without pay, as well as thousands who are not working and not being paid. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin checked in with a few furloughed workers in Anchorage and has this story.
The first weeks of the shutdown, Liza Sandin caught up on end-of-summer chores. She pickled beets. She made jam.
These last 2 weeks, though, have definitely been, the anxiety has been tripping up. You know, when are we going to go back to work? When am I going to get a paycheck again?
Alaska, more than most states, is highly dependent on the federal government for services and economically. The state has some 15,000 federal workers, and the shutdown affects each differently. Many we contacted for this story said they didn't want to give their names. A few mentioned a silver lining. On furlough, they don't have to feel as much stress from layoff threats and working in an administration that has low regard for civil service. One government employee in Anchorage says the shutdown has meant trading that stress for new financial stress as he runs up his credit cards. Sandin, an employee of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, considers her family luckier than some. She's taken a furlough gig as a substitute teacher. Her husband collects a pension. They aren't in danger of losing their house. But without her paycheck, the family is economizing. Sandin says her kids are trimming their Christmas list.
When your teenagers ask for $20 Lego sets as opposed to Xboxes and new cell phones, I appreciate them, you know, trying to be reasonable.
She did not want to discuss the politics of the shutdown. Others didn't mind.
Even before the shutdown, national parks were facing the biggest staff and budget cuts in history.
Jason Rogers is a National Park Service archaeologist. He blames the Trump administration and congressional Republicans for the funding lapse and more.
The administration has imposed new rules censoring what park employees can say about things like gender, like sexual orientation, like basic facts about American history. So, yes, I'm scared of retribution, but at this point, it's too important, and I feel like I need to speak out.
Rogers says the effects cascade beyond the federal workforce.
My landlord, who doesn't necessarily pay much attention to politics at all, is suddenly concerned because of course, he's worried if I'm going to be able to pay my rent, and I'm worried if I'm going to be able to pay my rent.
Stephanie Rice, who works for the Bureau of Land Management, has a lot to say, but first, her caveat.
I am giving this interview in my personal capacity, expressing my personal views on a matter of public concern.
In theory, Rice says that shows she's exercising her right to free speech and won't face retribution. She's president of her local union. She doesn't think her job is safe. Still, she's calling for action against those in the administration who aren't spending money as Congress directed.
They have to impeach these officials. You know, if these officials will not follow the law, that is the answer. That is the solution. And Congress has that power.
Rice and her colleagues are keeping their spirits up by sharing photos of themselves making, as she put it, lemonade of this furlough.
They're really leaning into their volunteer activities. You know, they're getting house projects done. They're able to spend a little more time with their kids. But it's still very stressful.
An extra stress on Interior Department employees is that the administration has already said it intends to fire a lot of them. A judge has stopped the government from laying off workers during the shutdown. But once the money starts flowing again, Rice says her particular office within the BLM, which is part of Interior, is slated for a 50% reduction.
And if all we do is hide under our desks, they're going to lay me off anyways. So I might as well go down swinging.
At the U.S. Capitol this week, senators are discussing how to end the shutdown. Senate Majority Leader John Thune told reporters key details are nearing completion. Senators, like their House counterparts, are slated to be off next week. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
And finally, the Kenai Performers have a new show opening this week that challenges perceptions of faith, community, and leadership. The cast and crew say it's a play that will leave the audience with more questions than answers. KDLL attended a dress rehearsal on Tuesday.
When we find ourselves in the place just right, we'll be in the valley of love and delight. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend.
It's Kentucky, 1836, and a group of nine plainly dressed women are leading minimalist lives. They sing hymns in unison, rebuke embellishment, and turn to their faith for guidance on all things. They're Shakers, members of a religious community with roots in England. But when the young sister Fanny starts seeing angels over their field, her strong personality and firm convictions disrupt the established order of their close-knit community.
They believed that they could physically shake the sin out of their body. That's why they're called the Shakers.
That's Raleigh Van Natta. As It Is in Heaven is his directorial debut with the Kenai Performers. The play, written by Arlene Hutton, was first performed in Edinburgh in 2001. Van Natta says it's an obscure production. He found the script at a used bookstore in Los Angeles and was drawn to its dramatic elements and spiritual themes.
And it's based on true events. You know, it's sort of a conglomeration of true events, this spiritual revival that was happening in the 1830s.
Amy Burton plays Sister Hannah in the show, a stern character who struggles with the burden of leadership. Burton says it's special to work with a cast of all women. She says their theater troupe usually has more women auditioning than there are roles in a show.
It's really nice to have not just a script that celebrates women, but allows each of them to shine in their different ways.
The actors in As It Is in Heaven range in age from 14 to 67. Terry Zopfschesser plays Sister Peggy and is the oldest cast member. She's a former teacher who says she knows some of her co-stars from the classroom.
They have the incredible energy, and I've known the youngest in the cast since they were sixth graders. Watching them come of age in this and other shows and seeing how they love theater and they keep working with theater, I'm really happy to be with them.
The show's muted costuming and sparse set make the acting seem more vibrant. The show's narrative is punctuated by melodic ensemble harmonies that fill the theater with Shaker hymns. Donna Schoenberg plays Sister Phoebe and says the high-intensity scenes can be taxing. She has four such scenes in a row.
By the time we get to the end, I'm shaking backstage. Yeah. Just are so, your every ounce of energy and emotion is like pouring out your body. Mm-hmm. And then you have to flip it and go right back out and sing.
But when it comes to resolution, the ending is ambiguous. Here's Van Natta, the director again.
The play asks more questions than it gives answers. And so I'm hoping that people will kind of formulate their own answers after seeing the play, and that it just makes them think about faith from different angles, and different kinds of faith, too.
As It Is in Heaven opens tonight, Thursday, November 6th, and runs through next Sunday, November 16th. Catch 7 p.m. showings on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, or matinee showings at 2 p.m. on Sundays. Tickets can be purchased on the Kenai Performers website at kenaiperformers.org. And that'll be all for tonight's KDLL Evening News. We had help from Liz Ruskin in Anchorage. You can re-listen to this newscast and find our other stories online at kdll.org. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Have a great night.